Proverbs chapter 21, verses 1 to 6. In the Lord's hand, the king's heart is a stream of water that he channels towards all who please him. A person may think their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart. To do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Haughty eyes and a proud heart, the unplowed field of the wicked produce sin. The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. A fortune made by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a deadly snare. The second part of today's Bible reading comes from Gospel Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 23. It can be found on page 797 in the English Bible and 1070 in the Chinese version. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 23. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." This is our Bible reading today. Thank you.
Well, good morning. Do not adjust your sets. I am not Andrew, as you heard from the Evelyn in the pastoral prayer. Andrew has laryngitis, which you can ask me about in the future, not today. And I'll also do a little more announcement because someone asked me during the break about when the church camp is on Sunday and the service is going to be down in at Deer Park. What about the evening service? The evening service is still on that Sunday. Might be a little different format, but the evening service is still on. Let's get into our text today. So let's pray. Our wise Heavenly Father, please enable us to hear your word, to take it in, and to align our hearts to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once upon a time, four university students stayed up late watching Netflix. When they woke the next morning, they realized they had an exam, and none of them had studied. So they came up with a plan. They put on shirts, trousers, and bow ties. Then they went out to the garden, rubbed dirt on their faces, then went to uni and told the lecturer this. We went to a wedding last night, but on the way back, the tire on our car blew, and we had to push the car all the way home. We've only just arrived, so please, we can't possibly do the exam today. Okay, the lecturer said, you can do a special exam tomorrow. Well, when they came to the next day, they sat down to do their exam, and they were surprised because there were only two questions on the exam. The first question, worth one mark, was, what is your name? The second question, which was worth 99 marks, was multiple choice. Which tire blew? Front left, front right, back left, back right. The moral of the story is, it's easy to come up with a plan, it's harder to come up with a good plan. Planning and wisdom go hand in hand. If you are wise, you will always be considering how your actions today will affect your life in the future. And we do make plans. We have personal plans, and to some extent we have a plan about where we'll live, what we intend to study, our work. We have plans for holidays, for retirement. We also look to our government to make plans for our society. Roads, railways, hospitals, these don't just happen, they are the result of careful planning. And of course, it's important to plan for the work of the gospel. The Apostle Paul did this. In his letter to the Romans, he says, I planned many times to come to you. He also says, I have been longing for many years to see you. I plan to do so when I go to Spain. Paul's approach is different to a view that I have come across among Christians who are a bit suspicious of plans and who want to emphasize the leading of God's Spirit day by day. And this morning, we must think about what it looks like to trust God's Spirit. But trusting God is not the opposite of making plans. In fact, the Proverbs says something quite strong about plans. In Proverbs 11:14, it says, for lack of guidance, a nation falls, but many advisers make victory sure. Now, what is it talking about? Well, it's talking about when nations go to war. Remember, this is Proverbs of a king to their son. He's saying, if you're going to go to war, go with a plan. And literally, the word translated victory is the word salvation. Remember, in the Old Testament, when the nation went to war and won, it was God's victory, God saving his people. But how? Well, partly by giving its leaders the wisdom to plan. You might remember at the start of this year, Sessions circulated a ministry plan for 2025. And we've set aside a planning day for next month where we'll review what worked and what didn't in order to make plans for our church in 2026. So will you pray that God will give us wisdom as we plan so that people will be saved? Today, we're going to look at four more proverbs that give us wisdom for planning. Now, remember, these are not intended to tell you everything you need to know about wise planning, but they do give us insight as we make plans for the life and the ministry that God has entrusted with us. Four things to remember as we make plans. The first point this morning is that as we plan, we should humbly seek advice. Proverbs 15:22 says, "Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisers they succeed." You might remember that in Proverbs, the fool often thinks that his own ideas are great. But by asking for advice, we are admitting that we don't know it all. And we are accepting that sometimes others see things that we can't. Notice, it's many advisors. Sometimes people just want to find one life coach who will tell them what to do, whereas this encourages a range of perspectives because no one person has figured it all out. And so, when you have an idea, do you have wise people that you can ask for advice about your idea? People who are permitted to tell you if you are being foolish. I mean, we need to be sensible. There is a difference between being humble and being anxious. If you need to ask five different people what to order for lunch, then you're probably just being anxious. But the more significant the decision, the more important it is to seek advice. And this flows into the second thing to remember. Take time with important decisions. Proverbs 21:5 says, "The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty." So what does diligent mean? Well, a diligent person is someone who is careful to do his job well. He takes time to think through the plan. He doesn't rush to get the job started and then finished. I can't help think about Australia's National Broadband Network. The original plan for the NBN was released in the lead up to the election in 2007. It was supposed to cost $15 billion and would be finished by 2016. It's fair to say it hasn't quite gone to plan. The latest estimate is that it will cost $70 billion. And earlier this year, the government promised that the final upgrades would be finished by 2030. So what went wrong? Well, an independent review done a while back found that the original plan was rushed, chaotic, and inadequate, and that the plan was conceived in 11 weeks, was not fit for purpose, and did not have clear operating instructions. Our proverb is right. Haste does lead to poverty. But rushing is such a part of our instant world. We often feel like there's no time to think, no time to plan, just do, do, do. The American president Eisenhower was a man who had many responsibilities, and so he used to figure out whether things were urgent and whether things were important. If something was not important, he would try not to waste time on it. If something was urgent and important, he would give it his immediate attention. But then the things that were important but not urgent, the things that he would set aside time to plan for. Our minister, Andrew, sets aside a block of time on Thursday afternoons for what he calls planning. It's to try and work on the things that are important but not happening this week. And can I encourage you, if you are one of the many people leading ministries in our church, if you find that you are always jumping from one urgent thing to the next, think about what you can rearrange in your life so that you can give your attention to the things that are important. Because our gospel mission is important, and so we want to be thoughtful about it, because haste leads to poverty. Again, being sensible, it is possible to move too slowly. We don't want to be indecisive or perfectionist in a way that ignores how urgent the work of the gospel is. But this proverb reminds us of the wisdom of slowing down in order to think about what we're doing. The third thing to bear in mind: work out your plans before God in prayer. Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed." Now, you could take this proverb in a couple of ways. The wrong way is to read it that you make your plans for what you want to achieve, and then you say, "Please, God, give this your stamp of approval." If we're honest, there's a tendency within us to want it this way, to put ourselves and our desires at the centre, to treat God like our personal assistant. Instead of saying, "Okay, Google," we say, "Okay, God." But that's not who God is. It's not wisdom that starts with the fear of God. So a better way to understand this proverb is to recognize the wisdom of coming before God in prayer throughout the planning process. Coming to God and examining our motives in the light of his holiness and glory as revealed in his word. Literally, the word "commit" here means to roll onto. So instead of coming to God and presenting the finished product of your wisdom and saying, "Please, God, sign here," you roll it to him and say, "I've got this idea that's sort of coming together, but please give me your wisdom about whether it's a good idea or not." 300 years ago, a preacher called Matthew Henry wrote about this proverb. He said, "Lay the matter before the Lord by prayer. Not only the works of your hands, but the workings of your heart, and then leave it with him by faith and dependence upon him, submission and resignation to him. We may then be at ease when we resolve whatever pleases God shall please us." By praying as we plan, we not necessarily expect some direct answer from heaven, but we are admitting how, as sinners, our wisdom is so easily skewed towards selfishness, and how desperately we need God's Spirit to help us plan in a way that seeks his glory rather than our glory. Because in the end, he will be glorified. And so if that's what we are aiming for, then that's what will succeed. Which leads us to our fourth piece of wisdom. Don't hold onto your plans too tightly. Proverbs 19, verse 21 says, "Many are the plans of a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." It's interesting. Remember at the start I gave you some examples of the Apostle Paul talking about his plans, and actually half the time when he mentions his plans, he's apologizing that his original plans didn't work out. It's good for us to make plans, but it's also good to recognize that God has his own plans. There's a sense in which everything is happening according to his plan, in line with the purpose of his will. And so we need to accept that sometimes we have something planned, and it may be something good that we've planned, but God has something better. Sometimes God allows our plans to be interrupted by sickness, or family emergency, or world events. I can look back on some of my own plans and think sometimes, to be honest, I've been frustrated or even angry with God because my plan didn't work out. I'm sure that sometimes he has prevented my plan from working out to teach me that in the end, I am not in control. He is in control. And yet, I've also learned that there is a freedom and a peace in accepting that the Lord's purpose prevails, because it means that it's not all up to me to make something of my life. It's the Lord Jesus at work in me and through me and around me who brings his plans to completion. And although I want to live my life meaningfully for him, my significance is not based on my ability to complete my plans. Rather, it's wrapped up in the Father's good plan for me. Trusting God involves prayerfully making enough of a plan to step out and do something. You need to trust that God will give you enough wisdom for the first step. And yet faith also requires that when God brings something different to what's expected, you are willing to go with whatever he brings. We must learn to always write our plans in pencil so that they can be easily rubbed out and rewritten when necessary. And when we find that God's ways are not our ways, then we need to trust that God's ways are far wiser than ours, because we only see a little slice of the picture, whereas the Lord sees everything and how it fits together. He has a plan to work everything together for the good of those who love him. We can see this in the life of Jesus, the wisdom that of God himself. Our New Testament reading was about that moment of clarity where Peter confesses who Jesus is, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. The moment where it was confirmed that this man Jesus is at the very center of God's plan for the world. And yet it's interesting what comes next. You could turn to that passage, Matthew chapter 16. And we're looking at the section that starts in verse 21. They've figured out who Jesus is. Now Jesus begins to tell them what he is going to do. He begins to explain to them his plan. Can you imagine it? "Guys, come here. I'm going to tell you my plan. Are you ready? Come in close. We're going to Jerusalem. the place where my biggest enemies live. Get this? They are going to arrest me, and I'm going to suffer. And then, you know what? I'm going to be killed. And on the third day, rise again. This makes no sense to Peter. In fact, he didn't even believe this could be a plan. He thinks Jesus is just being a bit pessimistic. So Peter takes Jesus aside just to help Jesus out a bit. Give him some encouragement. No, Jesus, listen to me. Cheer up. It's not going to be that bad. And what does Jesus say? Matthew 16:23. Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. From a human perspective, dying in the hands of his enemies didn't seem like much of a plan. But from God's perspective, this was the masterstroke. Because God knows more than we do. We tend to think that what we really need is comfort, success, honor, power. And so those are the things we often plan for. But God knows that what we so desperately need is to have our sin dealt with. Our sin, all the things in life that make us unworthy of him and his blessing. And God knows that in order to deal with our sin and restore us to a right relationship with him, without undermining his glory and his holiness, there needs to be a judgment for our sin. This is what happened on the cross. God worked out his brilliant plan in a way that shows his grace, his love, and his justice, all at the same time. None of us would have come up with that plan. So when things don't go according to our plans, all is not lost. In fact, I'm convinced that on the last day, we will look back on the things which made no sense right at the moment, and we will praise God for being so much wiser than us. So, in conclusion, friends, plan wisely. Plans are good. But be humble about them. Seek advice. Take time with the big decisions. Work through them with God in prayer. And don't hold on to your plans too tightly, because God often has greater plans than we do. So let's worship God and sing our last song, Your Way, Not Mine, O Lord.
Please stand.